if in my high moments I have done some good, offered some service, shed some light, healed some wounds, rekindled some hope, or stirred some warmth of apathy and indifference, or in any way along the way helped somebody, then this campaign has not been in vain.
With your host, Andrew Gordon.
Welcome, Alexandra Rouquet, to the show. You got to tell me if I'm saying it wrong or right, because I'm a disaster when it comes to me.
You can call me Alex. Okay. You can call me Alex. Last name is Rouquet, and it's so difficult. It's obviously my married name.
What's your maiden name?
Pappas, which was so much easier.
You are the exact reverse of my wife. See, my wife's maiden name was Squicciarini. S-Q-U-I-C-C-I-A-R-I-N-I. She went from that to Gordon, so she kind of...
Oh, wow. So much easier.
I said you could keep the name, you don't have to change it, but I guess I want to change it.
Yeah, my husband was like, you have to change your name. So I was like, all right, fine.
You are currently in New York City, and you are the founder and owner of Karma Mob. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Sure. Karma Mob is my apparel. It's more of a lifestyle brand, actually, at this point.
What does that mean?
It reflects a certain lifestyle, a certain type of person, and also clothing and apparel that you can go throughout your life in and throughout your day in. You know, it's not meant for any one thing.
It is casual. I know that you have t-shirts where you have messages on them, but
yep.
Do you make any activewear specifically for yoga or anything like that?
Originally, I made because athleisure is such like a thing right
yes.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I dress anyway. I love really comfortable clothes that are still kind of like classic, but have a little bit of an edge to them. So yes. That's kind of why I started with graphic shirts, and then I branched into leggings because I love leggings. Who doesn't love leggings?
And oh, God, a good pair of stretchy pants. I am so sad.
And, you know, joggers and stuff that, like, it's casual, cool, it's streetwear. Definitely still wear it to yoga. Throw it on over your yoga clothes, or you can work out. Our leggings are amazing to work out in, actually.
You're currently in New York City, and people in New York, you'll see business people, especially women, that have to wear shoes that are not comfortable, but have to walk a lot of blocks to work. You'll see them wearing sneakers with a fancy outfit, but they
totally.
In their bag, they change into the heels.
I love that.
It's so New York.
It's so New York.
It's so New York.
I remember the first time I saw that, like a lady in like a full-on like pantsuit with like her crazy sneakers on. I mean, that's how you got to get around here.
It moves very fast, and comfort should not be an option. It should be a necessity.
Amen.
How did you come up with the name Karma Mob? Because to me, the first thing that rings out in my head is spiritual gangster. So were they out before you, or were you out before them?
They were out before me. And definitely, I mean, that's inspirational, but I wanted to make it my own thing. And I wanted it to be more reflective of the East Coast and an East Coast vibe and like a New York vibe as opposed to a Cali vibe. And I like the idea that mob can have this kind of gangstery connotation, but it also means a group of people.
Yes.
Karma, I think you reap what you sow.
Absolutely. Whatever you put out is going to come back to you. I mean, that shouldn't always be the reason we do it. It just should eventually be the way that you choose to live your life.
Right, right.
For the greater good. By the way, if anyone asks about Karma Mob, your answer should be, because it's East Coast, I don't know who they are, but I heard they're a great bunch of people.
They're great.
This should always be your answer. If anyone asks a question and it ends in mob, and what do you know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything.
But I heard they're a great bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're great.
That's it. You're not originally from New York City. How did you form a relationship with the Big Apple and from a young age?
I was born in D.C. My family moved around quite a bit when I was younger. So I lived in Michigan and Florida.
What were all the moves for? Was it
my dad's job? He was in like biotech. He just had a crazy job situation growing up. So we moved quite a bit for that. And then I was in Massachusetts for 12 years, which is where I spent like my childhood. And my mom grew up in New York on the Upper East Side. Really did not like living in Massachusetts. So we literally came here every chance.
What part of Massachusetts were you? Only because I got a few friends there. So
yeah, I grew up in Shrewsbury, which is right next to Worcester.
Did you ever get the accent?
No, I didn't.
Thank God. If anyone's listening in Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, I love Massachusetts. Like, I grew up there. It's my home, but no.
Look, I'm from Long Island, okay? The accent is not great. Right? We have Joey Buttafuoco, Amy Fisher, the Long Island psychic. Oh, no. I mean, you know, it's not great, okay? I get that. The Boston accent. Park the car in the grass.
Park the car. I know. It's not
sounds
very,
like you're throwing up.
Easy on the ears.
No. Okay. But who am I? It's like the pot calling the kettle black with me. So I have nothing to stand on. Your mom didn't want to live in Massachusetts. You end up on the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
And how old are you when you're out and about around New York?
So I went to college in Savannah and then I moved here in 2004.
Where did you go to school?
The Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, and that's like one of the best schools for art.
It's a wonderful school. I was like a dropout, so.
You were a dropout from art school?
No, I'm an art school dropout. Isn't that so embarrassing?
How did you become an art school dropout?
Well, the idea, I was only going to take a semester off. I was having a little too much fun down there and I wasn't really focused on any major. It was like a situation. I love to create. I love to make art, but I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And it was really difficult to be in school every day without any kind of focus, you know, where I wanted to end up. I tried interior design and it was so structured and crazy and I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
So the idea was I was just going to take some time off, take a semester off and then, you know, go back to school when I figured out what I was going to do. But I wound up taking the time off and I just really reflected on where I wanted my life to be. And I knew I didn't want to stay down there and do nothing. I wanted to do something really interesting with my life. And that's when I literally had an epiphany, like a light bulb moment. And I was like, I'm going to move to New York and I'm going to be a makeup artist and I'm going to work in TV and film.
Was your mom living in New York at the time that you made the decision?
No, my parents, after it, so I know it's like hard to keep up with this crazy moving story.
No,
but
I'm right with it.
When I graduated high school, my family moved to New Jersey. And then I was there for just 3 months and I went to college. So I lived in Savannah. They were all in Jersey. And my grandmother lived in New York and she's like a lifelong New Yorker. So she still lived on the Upper East Side.
Very cool.
And that's how I came to New York. So
okay, so when you went to New York after leaving the college down in Savannah, you moved in with your grandmother.
I moved in with my grandmother who was like, my family, and I didn't really tell you this part, like my family kind of wrote me off. Like when I said that I was going to take time off from school, it was a huge deal. It was like a big, big problem. My dad basically emancipated me. He literally used the word emancipate.
Wow.
And they were like, have fun with your life. Like, we kind of don't really think you're going to go anywhere. Like, they like freaked out. I was like the crazy artist girl. I was like the black sheep of the family. Everybody
do you have other siblings?
I do. I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
And are they like accountants and engineers?
Actually, my brother is an engineer.
Of course he is. Who isn't an engineer?
My sister is a nurse and she's a neonatal nurse. She's amazing. They're both amazing. I was definitely the crazy one. Yeah. I was like the bad seed. Even though I wasn't even a bad kid, I was just, you know, I was a little not focused.
Everyone needs to explore and find out what lights them up. And that's a little bit more difficult for people that are creatives. And that's certainly what you are and who you are. And I feel like I went down that same path. I could never imagine myself being locked into something so rigid.
Yep.
And it's not even that I don't want to because of we're lazy or I'm lazy. It's just, you feel like you have a straitjacket on and
totally.
You feel suffocated.
Totally.
So it's not a good way to live. It's almost like we have to take the harder route. I wish I was wired like an accountant.
Me too. I know. I used to pray. I was like, what's wrong? I just want to work in a cubicle. I used to like pray that I could like work in like a cubicle and have this like straitjacket, you know, but it was like, just so I could fit in.
Yeah.
So I could be like normal. And so my parents would like accept me, you know, it was very hard.
You went to live with your grandma. Which side is she on? Your dad or your mom? Because your dad
was
really pissed.
My mom's side. My dad was pissed. My mom was pissed too. I didn't speak to my family for like almost a year.
What was that like emotionally for you? I mean, I had
it was terrible. I was like in such a weird place. You know, I was living in Savannah, which is kind of like a strange place to be if you're not in college.
Yeah.
It's like just an odd... It has an odd energy. The people that are there, and I'm sorry again, I hope I'm not insulting anybody from Savannah. It's like an amazing, beautiful town, but I had a strange experience there. So I needed to get out of that desperately. So New York to me was the obvious answer. And I had always loved coming here. I always like felt like it was a part of me. And my grandmother allowing me to move up to live with her while I kind of figured out what I wanted to do was like the biggest blessing of my life.
I'm going to say for people listening that, because I know a lot about New York, I'm from there, that if people are listening, say, I want to do what she did. The fact that your grandma was living in New York City and you could live there is a
huge deal.
I just want to really make a point of that, that if you were to pick up and pay for a closet to live in New York and figure it all out, it would be extremely difficult. But having your grandma there is, that's totally.
She was an angel and she's still alive. And she's like the biggest, she's always been my advocate. And I think it's so important. And I've been so lucky and blessed to have somebody in my life that believes in me that much, you know, even at my lowest points in life where I didn't have direction. I didn't know like if my dreams were going to come true. I just had this idea that this is what I wanted to happen. And, you know, part of me knew I could make anything happen, but I doubted myself because my immediate family doubted me. So my grandmother was just like, you can do it. I believe in you. You're special. You've got this. Like,
wow. What's your grandma's name?
May.
What's up, May? Grandma May, you're the best.
She is the best. I tell her all the time.
After college, you're in New York City hanging out with Grandma May. What happens then? What do you do?
So I moved up here to take specifically, like, I was going to take makeup classes and to fulfill my dream of being a celebrity makeup artist. So they didn't have any real programs at the time. So I wound up, I found one. I went to this little makeup school and then I started working in retail. And luckily I got in with this company that was about to blow up. So
what company was that?
Bare Essentials.
Okay, I've heard of them.
So they were so little at the time that I moved here, and like they had one little boutique and they were on QVC, and the company just exploded throughout the years that I worked with them. So I kind of worked in the stores, and then I would freelance on the side and do, you know, TV gigs or little other gigs where I could. And then I got hired in their corporate world. So like I got to see the whole corporate side of that company, which was cool. And I traveled every single weekend for like, I want to say like 2.5 years.
Were you traveling just mostly domestic or just like all over the world when they blew up?
I traveled domestically for the most part. I did a couple international trips. I worked with like QVC, Germany, and I did Shop Toronto with them. So that was kind of like being behind the scenes of such big productions like QVC and Shop Toronto, were just, it just made me want to work in television all the more. Company actually, it's amazing. I got bought by Shiseido, and then they kind of laid off everybody that was on the traveling team. So I was forced to really then go after what I wanted, which was working in television. And I got hired because of the people I had met along the way. Somebody gave my name to a TV station. So I started working in local news.
Who'd you work for?
For Fox 5.
Okay. It's Ernie Anastas.
And Roseanne Moscato. I did the morning, morning show. And they're amazing. And they're dear friends of mine. And that shift was absolutely hell. It was 2:30 in the morning, 5 days a week.
So Ernie Anastas, does he have a lot of shine? Does he need a lot of...
That's all you do is powder.
You're working there doing makeup. And for how long are you at Fox 5 doing that?
I did that for 4 years. And it was like incredible because the people that I was around on a daily basis, I mean, I met like everyone. I like worked with everyone, like anyone that came in that was doing a book tour or like... it was just speakers and musicians and artists, like anyone that you can imagine came through those doors. And I was just on a daily basis, like subjected to like one amazing person after the next.
How do you feel being around all the energy of the entertainment industry impacted you?
So inspiring to me. It was just, I saw people doing, like living their dreams. Like these people are all doing what they wanted to do and they're making like an amazing living doing it. And they're traveling the world and they're like having experiences that normal people don't get to have.
Infinite possibilities.
Totally. I was like, why not me?
So where do you go from Fox 5?
I got into the union, which is kind of a difficult thing in this world.
Which one, the SAG after?
No, it's actually, it's Local 798. It's the hair and makeup stylists in New York City. And you get to then work on the big budget productions in town once that happens. So that's a whole process. It takes, if anybody wants to email me about that, I'm happy to share my knowledge. It's like a whole thing. So that happens. Now I work on like these huge shows and movies around town. And I work with like A-list celebrities all the time. And I'm like even more inspired. It's crazy. It's amazing.
It's really cool. I'll visit you. I'm coming to New York City, Soho, to film an interactive yoga class with Plank.com. They're a new company with online fitness on the 16th. I'll be there. We'll be there for a few days. So I'll definitely stop by. Do you have a storefront?
No.
You don't?
No, I get asked this all the time, actually, which I'm like super flattered that like people think I'm at the level where I have a storefront already, but I don't. I actually, at this point, I work out of my apartment. So I started by making my shirts myself out of my apartment, and I would do it while I was at Fox.
Wow.
Because I had the afternoons free. I'd be done at like 11:15 every day, and I was delirious, but yep. I was like, I need something else and something really fulfilling and enriching my life. So I would come home and I'd make these shirts and then fill my orders and then go to sleep at 6 p.m. every night.
And this is all off of the website, which is?
KarmaMobNYC.com.
Is that how you started, or you started with like Etsy or something?
I started with Etsy.
Wow.
But I did have a website because I had another product.
What was that?
They're called Arch Tags. They're these decals for the soles of high-heeled shoes.
Wow, and that's interesting.
It was a fun project. I created that in 2011. And I still sell them, and I still make them.
Did they take off?
Yeah, I got like, they took off really fast actually, which was like totally overwhelming. And it was such a learning curve for me because I knew nothing about business. I knew nothing about wholesaling. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. I just had to learn on the fly. I got a glamour.com article in the first like week that I launched them. And then they went like viral on Pinterest. And then I literally got worldwide press for this. And my amazing publicist, Brian, I have to shout out because he helped hook up my brand big time.
No, one thing, is Brian cool with Grandma May?
Brian's cool with everyone. You know, I haven't even met Brian in person, actually, which is even funnier.
All right. I just want to make sure Grandma May likes him first before we move forward.
Grandma May likes everyone.
Can you give me the name of the arches again? Because I have a question about them.
Yeah, they're called Arch Tags.
And people could still get them?
Yeah, I sell them actually on my Etsy. I do sell them on my website too, but they're kind of like hidden on the site. I just kept
them there. What do people want on the bottom of their shoes? I get it. I see it in my head, but what have you put on shoes?
Well, you know why I made them was because I was so broke at the time, I couldn't afford Louboutins.
Ah, so you made red.
Yeah, well, I didn't make red. I did all these different ones because I thought it would be way cooler to have like a decal or like a shoe bottom.
Oh, it's brilliant.
That was like different, you know, like a leopard print or like a flannel or, you know, whatever you really could imagine. And I make
so
a lot
smart.
Of
smart. I love it. Wow.
Thanks. It was fun. It was cool. It was a cool product and a really cool idea. It's more of a fad product. You know what I mean? It's like people are going to like buy it once. It's like a novelty. So
yeah, such a key element of someone who is an entrepreneur or a thought leader to pick up on that. Aha, wait a second.
Yes.
You know, that's a problem solved, not just for you who couldn't afford it, but for all the people who could not afford Louis Vuitton.
Yeah.
At that time, I'm sure.
Totally.
Sex and the City was popular. I'm sure all you heard was Louis Vuitton's time. So
yes, I was I was making like, at that moment in time, I was making no money. I was like, God, I can't even afford friggin' Steve Madden shoes. You know what I mean? It was like.
But you were living at Grandma May's. Grandma May got you back.
Life of a freelancer.
Take me back from when Karma Mob first launched. And what year was that?
2015.
To now, and what the production was like then, and what the quantity, just in like, you don't have to give me numbers, but just in relativity, what it's like now. And how do you handle that? And how did you get more popular? You know, how did you build your brand?
Sure. Well, when I first started, Etsy actually was wonderful for me because it's more of like a homey customer. Like they love that homemade vibe.
Yeah.
They want to connect with the maker. So that was a really good way for me to get started because I made a lot of mistakes. Like I didn't know how to screen print. So I taught myself how to screen print because I really wanted to learn how to make shirts. I don't know if you know anything about screen printing, but it's insane. Like the process is totally crazy. Like to make the screens, you need to use emulsion and you have to burn them with a light source and you have to like print transparencies and like, then you have to wash out the screen. Everything has to be like the right temperature. So it's very, very difficult.
Oh, good Lord.
Out of an apartment, especially in New York City.
You're breaking like 5 codes, but we didn't say anything. I don't know anything.
Don't call anyone.
She's with the mob.
I'm with the mob. Yeah, that was like a real, and thank God, like my customers like really, they like stuck by me and a lot of emails saying like, was my order coming? Redo things all the time. It was awful. I mean, I was so embarrassed. Eventually I got it together. I still do make, I want to say like 80% of the shirts I print myself, but they're easy designs. So I can do that for my house. And then some of them I outsource.
Where do you outsource to? Is it China? Is it Chinatown?
No, I don't want to use anything out of the United States if possible.
Okay.
So I try to source my companies like I use alternative apparel. I do think they get some of their shirts made in Peru, actually, but they're ethical. Everything's done ethically.
Very cool.
And Bella Canvas. Now I just, you know, I have some stock that I keep around, and I do some trade shows now, so I try to, like, get rid of stock that way. And
you managed to distribute Karma Mob clothing into 10 locations. Who are these retailers and where are they located?
Retailers in New Jersey, some yoga studios. I have one in Connecticut. I just got my first international wholesale order in Israel. So that's been amazing. So I'm mostly on the East Coast. It looks like we'll be expanding to Ohio soon and Florida.
You know, there's a lot of people doing their thing online. What do you think is the greatest piece of advice to offer someone who wants to build a brand like you have, you know, where now that you're actually in retailers, not just on the East Coast, but I mean, gosh, you're across the world.
I think the most important thing for me was the message that I'm trying to portray. Connection and inclusion.
Yes.
And spirituality can be fun. Also, you know, nothing has to be that serious. Life is crazy.
If you listen to this show, you know, that's what we're all about. Taking shit so serious.
Yeah, can't. You know, none of us get out of here alive, so.
That's right. Do you think that you're going to open up a brick and mortar, or you just don't have any insane idea to do that?
Brick and mortar.
You're preaching to the choir. I had 2 brick and mortar yoga studios. I gave them up in January. I launched the podcast in December. And I am on fire right now about everything. And I feel like I learned so much through having brick and mortar made me so impassioned and emblazoned to take all the lessons I learned and put them online.
Yeah. So cool. I know. I love what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And you know, just like you were on, what was the name of the cosmetics? It was a brand.
Bare Essentials.
Yeah. Like you were there when they were small and yep. Like you didn't know they were going to blow up. That's like the show. Like you're here and like it's about to blow up.
Oh, totally.
Because you're on it.
Yes, obviously.
You've got the magic touch.
Grandma May.
Grandma May, what's up? I love you. Come to visit Grandma May when we come down.
Yeah, Riverdale.
All right. She's in the senior home now. That's all good.
Yeah,
I'm going to come and facilitate a game of bingo.
Mahjong.
That's what my mom plays. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So you have ADD like myself. I actually have ADHD. It's the hyperthreat.
Were you diagnosed with it?
I was. And actually, I took the CNS test. You ever take that?
No.
You
did? They just put me on medication.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah, but I don't take anything, obviously, now. But like back when this was like per my parents.
For real. Oh. I was diagnosed and I have a story about it.
I'm curious.
I asked you if you took the CNS test.
No. Nobody ever gave me a test, but I did go to a psychiatrist who was like, oh, yeah. You know, because I was kind of like, well, I guess I'm ADD because everybody is telling me I'm ADD. And like literally everybody in my college, because they're all artists. They're all ADD too, which I think is totally screwed up because...
What doctor did you go to, Seuss?
Yeah, listen, I went to some nice Jewish doctor in the Upper East Side, and this is like, immediately hands me a prescription for Adderall. I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay, you work in the entertainment industry, you got directed to him.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
Yeah, your friend says you're hyper? Here, take this.
Yeah.
No, I had to take a CNS test and it's like an hour and you don't know really what they're testing for. You're just hitting buttons and going through all the exercises.
Uh-huh.
And I took it 3 times.
Wow.
The same deficiency showed up 3 times. And I don't know which part of the test really tests for this, which is good because it's honest. Short-term visual recall. I am terrible with that. And actually, it doesn't really affect me except I was teaching for this institution that was not in the public schools. It was for like college and business people, English as a second language. And I had to transfer from Google Docs to the paper graded materials back to Google Docs and then into their system. And I literally put one whole class into another wrong class. Everyone from one class got grades from somebody else's class. Now, I was with them for about 5 years as a lead instructor.
Oh, my God.
And this is how funny the businesses are. Well, you did great for the last 5 years, but what did you do yesterday? You screwed up yesterday. So
yeah.
I had to go take that test. They thought I was lying. Like when I was like, yo, I have a problem. Like this is where it manifests. And they didn't think I could prove it, you know?
Yeah.
And I came down with the note and then I showed them that that's why that happened. And all of a sudden it was a big company and human resources called me and, you know, they wanted to make sure I was okay if I needed any extra assistance. And oh, they were so scared I was going to sue them. So I could like,
wow.
literally walk around like a king for the rest of the time I was there. But it's not where I wanted to be. You know what? It's just disconcerting that people that you build relationships with for like 4 or 5 years would just turn on you on a dime because of something that happened like that. Back to ADD or ADHD. Like myself, it's a common thing with people who are entrepreneurs and you're always looking to create or do, like myself. When did you first start to realize that this was something that was a part of your life? And maybe even in your childhood, you know, coming back to where you said, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a nurse. How did it manifest for you where you were able to look at it not as a burden, but as a blessing?
I feel like that didn't even happen to me until recently. Like, I feel like in the last bunch of years is when I really accepted this idea that I am an entrepreneur and that this definition makes so much more sense to me than anything else ever has. I questioned myself for so many years, I think much longer than I should have, feeling weird, feeling different, feeling like I was the crazy one of all my friends. I was the crazy one in my family. You know, I was always into like a million things. I like spoke really fast. I was kind of like spastic. I wanted to do a million things. I had a lot of energy. I felt weird because of it. I feel like it manifested in strange situations in my life because I just didn't have the confidence in that being something positive. It was something that was very negative to me. So it really was in the last bunch of years that I was just like, oh, I get this. This makes so much sense. Like, these things are positive traits that I have and they're useful in this career that I've chosen.
I have to ask you before I get to some of the questions about Karma Mob, back to Spiritual Gangster, just for a second. I'm not going to sit here and dwell on it for like the whole interview, but did any people from there ever give you crap or try and get in touch with you and be like, yo, it's a...
No, because I think I'm different enough, you know? And like, first of all, there's like a million companies doing the same type of thing. So like Karma Mob, I've done my best to try to differentiate my brand from the other brands that are out there that are doing the same thing. Like a million shirts out there say Good Vibe Tribe or like Karma or like Grateful, you know what I mean? But that's not what my brand is all about. So like nobody's ever bothered me from that brand because I think hopefully they see me as something that's different enough from them.
Well, I got to let this out of the bag. I'm coming out with Dharma Dorks.
That's a great name. Good luck with your brand.
Thank you very much. There's a market for it. It's a lifestyle.
There's a market for everything.
There sure is.
That's what I've learned.
You have messages on shirts, like we alluded to before, that have a lasting impact on our psyche.
Yeah.
And those of we encounter. This is your words.
Yep.
And it's a pretty cool mission to try and fill the world with positive imagery and words.
Yep.
I love that. Thinking back over the last couple of years, what is one of your favorite messages ever on one of your shirts?
My favorite one is love is the answer because I feel like it is the answer to everything.
Do you ever come up with original stuff?
Yeah. You know, these things that come to me, like they can be seen as generic, but I try to make it my own because it's something that I believe and it's a way that I live my life. So to me, those are original. They're like original through me, original messages. And I try to put them with images that are different, but they correspond in my mind.
Now, this might be outside a box. Do you have an Every Cloud Has a Silver Lining shirt?
I don't, but that's definitely, I'll name it the Andrew Gordon.
No, that's part of the Dharma Dorks line.
Fine, I'll let you have that one.
All right. I'm just messing with you. The fact that you're made in New York brings an element of realness and a type of transparency to your line and the vibe that people really love about the brand. And, you know, I think that comes out in the show for me, podcasting, the New York side comes out. And a lot of people connotate New York with being mean, but that's not necessarily true. The exterior could be mean, but when you talk to people and you get to know them, they're just really upfront and direct and authentic to who they are.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. New Yorkers are amazing. I've seen some crazy things happen, but I personally have wonderful experiences with the public. And as a makeup artist, I've worked with, like when I worked in retail, I worked with the public. I worked with the everyday woman, like constantly. And these people were amazing. Like, and everyone's so willing to share and connect and like people want to help each other too here. That's like the biggest thing I think in New York. It'd be tough and like might be a little like trepidatious at times, but ultimately like you need help. A New Yorker is going to have your back. Somebody's going to like that. If an awning collapses on you, people are going to be like digging through that to like pull you out of it and make sure, you know what I mean? It's like we come together.
Crowded and it moves fast. So by default, there's going to be a gruffness to it. But when, you know, S hits the fan and people need help, they're going to be there. Who would you say are the most common Karma Mob peeps? Do you get a lot of yogis?
I do actually get a lot of yogis. I think it's because a lot of my stuff revolves around like meditation and mindfulness. Yes. A lot of my prints do. So that just, you know, obviously aligns with that type of crowd. Yeah, but I get other people too. I get like just a lot of fitness people because my stuff is athleisure. You can wear it working out. You can wear it to yoga, the gym, on the street.
I want to put decals on my feet.
I will make you some special decals for your shoes, but you need like a heel. You have to have an exposed arch to your shoe. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
No, just when I do yoga for my feet. I got good arches.
You just put them on your bare feet.
Okay. So nice, it's like a reminder to myself. Oh my gosh, I just got your next product. You can have an intention on the arches of your feet.
You've just come up with like 3 businesses in this one podcast.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And they thought ADHD was the demise.
Exactly.
You think that the vibe is the future and you're basically bringing an element of spirituality to the street in a real approachable and a fun way, which is cool. Where do you see Karma Mob and any other ideas that are kicking around? What's going on for you in the next couple of years? If you could manifest, plan, what do you see in your vision?
I do have this like vision of a storefront. I don't know.
Don't do it.
I know. It's like, I see it, but maybe that can be like a pop-up situation. I definitely want to do a lot more fairs and like markets, like Wanderlust type festivals. And I just want to expand. I want to be in retailers around the world. And I want everyone to know what Karma Mob is and like feel like they're part of like a tribe of cool people when they wear the clothes.
You had a huge loss in 2013. And I'm sorry to hear about this or read about it. You lost your mother to cancer. Before I asked you how that affected you and what courses of actions that you took in your life moving forward, were you able to reconcile with her before she passed?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not speak to my family for like about a year, but we did get back into communication after that year. It was more like after I figured out that I wanted to move to New York and I wanted to be a make artist, and they kind of saw that I was doing something noteworthy. And then they were obviously very proud of me and very proud of where my career has gone.
Yeah,
I did have a good relationship with my mother leading up until the end. And I think we got closer when she got sick.
Sure.
And I know that happens a lot with people if you have that time. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer.
God.
So it moved very, very fast. So we had about 8 months and she really tried to fight it. But unfortunately, it was, you know, it's one of those things that you can't really, survival rates like 5% of people for like 5 years. And it was like most people die within 2. And
yeah.
Kind of crazy.
This is a couple of years before you launched Karma Mob. So how did that affect you in your life and the actions that you would take moving forward, the thought processes about how you would live your life?
It was so impactful, and I'm sure you can relate as somebody who's lost a parent.
Yes.
It's like, it gives you a whole new perspective on time. Oh. And how much time you have and what are you doing with your time? And like, especially the way that you lose somebody, like, my mom was really healthy and like active and full of vitality. And then she like got cancer and it came out of nowhere. And we were all just like, what the fuck? Like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know? And all of the things that she did, she had to stand and like look at her life and say like, did I make decisions? Like, did I live enough? Was I happy? You know? And like kind of reflect. And I was like, whoa, to see her go through that process. Like it made me question everything too. And it made me, I'm so aware of like the choices I make now. And like, does it make me happy?
But you know, it's kind of beautiful in the separation that you two had and then the reconnection that she birthed new life into you through the process of her reflecting on her own. That's amazing.
There was a huge positive thing that came out of this. And it was like, she gave me a gift of perspective and, you know, a way to like, value my time.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of good stuff that came out of that really, really difficult time. And I also like found fitness during that time too. I found like working out, which is another huge, amazing blessing in my life.
Are you a yogi or a weekend?
I do.
Yogi?
I practice yoga. I'm like one of those people, like I like to do, I'm like an ADD workout person. So I love to spin. I love to do like hot vinyasa.
Yeah.
I used to run more, but I still, you know, jog here and there, but I like to mix it up. I like weights and kind of keep it well-rounded.
It's interesting because when I talk to people about the podcast, sometimes on the air, sometimes off, what we are and what we're about, yoga to me is just a big metaphor for life. You know, it's a way of living life, but we're so focused on the asana in our society and the poses.
Yep.
Really, that's the third limb that you're supposed to come into. But there's this whole philosophical way of life that is missed in Western society. And I get it. You know, most people want to come into it from the back door through the fitness path of it, which does work. But once you learn that, the things that happen on your mat change the way you get upset in traffic.
Yeah.
Life slows down and you're able to be more proactive and less reactive. And I think that is what my answer is to this show. It's like, well, you did an interview and you didn't talk about down dog or like half moon.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? People's lives are yoga, you know, mind, body, and the connection to
union. Yoga means union.
Exactly. You know? So I'm like, geez, this is stories, you know, like we can talk about alignment for an hour and I'll jump out my window, you know, I'll be bored to death. So that's not going to be this show.
No, good.
So, you know, go to somewhere else for that. And that's okay. I'm not knocking it. Where can people find Karma Mob primarily? And perhaps our listeners maybe get a special promo code?
Oh, yeah. I would love to make one for you guys.
Sweet.
Do the code of your show. And you can find us on www.karmamobnyc.com. I'd love to do like a 20% discount.
That's sweet. That's awesome. What should the promo code be for our listeners? We just put Yoga Moves You.
Yeah.
Yoga Moves You. Perfect. Karma Mob promo code Yoga Moves You. We will get that up with a link on our page and also in the, obviously in the episode show notes. Alex, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Keep doing what you're doing and maybe we'll bump into each other and we'll have dinner with Grandma May.
Oh.
When we come to town next Friday,
actually. So
even if we don't see each other, take the class, plank.com.
Yeah, totally.
It's pretty cool because the teacher can see you and you can see us, but you can't see the other students. So it's great for people that are self-conscious.
That sounds wonderful.
It's a beautiful thing. So there she is, Alex. I'm going to attempt to say your married name, Rutke. From Karma Mob. Peace out to Grandma May.
Thank you so much.
Go support the Karma Mob. I'll circle back to when you're running all of New York City in about 3 years.
Please. Be your mouth to God's ears. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
The Moves You Podcast with your host, Andrew Gordon.